hare Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Kunja Bihari Shoranandana Braja Janaranjana Jashoranandana Braja Janaranjana Jashoranandana Braja Janaranjana Jashoranandana Braja Janaranjana Chari Jamuna Kira Vana Chari Jayo Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Pribrajakacharya Stutara Satoshi Srimad Savanga Shaesi Bhaktivaranta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Rindiki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prem Segaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivaranta Ki, Shishi Radha Krishna Gogo Prabhupada Shamakunda Radha Kalibhi Govardhan Ki, Shri Vrindavan Dhamaki, Shri Mayapur Dhamaki, Ganga Maiki, Jamuna Maiki, Bhakti Deviki, Tulasi Deviki, Samaveta Bhaktivindaki, Janitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasya Vamsyas Tu Naishada Giri Anana Gochara Yenaharaj Jayamano Vena Almasham Ulbanam Tasya Vamsyas Tu Naishada Girikanana Gochara Yena Harajayamano Vena Kalmashamulpanam Tasya Vamsyas Tu Naishada Girikanana Gochara Yena Harajayamano Vena Kalma Shamulbanam.
Thank you.
tasya,
tasya
his,
his
nisharas,
nisharas
vamsya,
vamsya
descendants,
descendants
to
then
naishada,
naishada
called naishadas,
girikanana,
the hills and forests,
gochara,
inhabiting,
yena,
because,
arharat,
he took upon himself,
jayamana,
being born,
vena,
of King Vena,
kalmasham,
all kinds of sin,
Ulbanam,
very fearful.
Very fearful.
Translation 44. Okay, from 44. This person born from King Vena's thighs was named Bahuka, and his complexion was as black as a crow's. All the limbs of his body were very short. His arms and legs were short, and his jaws were large. His nose was flat, his eyes were reddish, and his hair copper-colored. 45. He was very submissive and meek, and immediately after his birth he bowed down and inquired, "Sirs, what shall I do?" The great sages replied, "Please sit down." Nisita. Thus, Nishada, the father of the Naishada race, was born. Purport. It is said in the Shastras that the head of the body represents the Brahmanas, the arms represent the Kshatriyas, the abdomen represents the Vaishyas, and the legs, beginning with the thighs, represent the Shudras. The Shudras are sometimes called black or Krishna. The Brahmanas are called Shukla or white, and the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are a mixture of black and white. However, those who are extraordinarily white are said to have had skin produced out of white leprosy. It may be concluded that white or golden hue is the color of the higher caste, and black is the complexion of the Shudras. Text 46. After his Nishada's birth, he immediately took charge of all the resultant actions of King Vena's sinful activities. As such, this Naishada class are always engaged in sinful activities, like stealing, plundering, and hunting. Consequently, they are only allowed to live in the hills and forests. Purport. The Naishadas are not allowed to live in cities and towns because they are sinful by nature. As such, their bodies are very ugly, and their occupations are also sinful. We should, however, know that even these sinful men, who are sometimes called kiratas, can be delivered from this sinful condition to the topmost Vaishnava platform by the mercy of a pure devotee. Engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord can make anyone, however sinful he may be, fit to return home, back to Godhead. One has only to become free from all contamination by the process of devotional service. In this way, everyone can become fit to return home, back to Godhead. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9:32. Mam hi partha vipashritya ye pishu papayonaya stryo vaishyas tatha shudras te pi yanti param gatim. O son of Pita, those who take shelter of me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, as well as Shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Story of King Vena. So Krishna is defining in the Bhagavad Gita the nature of the living entity and the nature of the material energy and the living entity's involvement. Because the living entity identifies as the controller and enjoyer, then Maya creates an illusion that the material energy can be enjoyed. Right? Though that concept is illusory, she still creates that illusion so that in the mind of the conditioned living entity, that is substance, that's reality. So the living entity looks upon the world and feels, yes, I can enjoy this, I can be happy here. And then in trying to engage in that field to enjoy themselves, they become more and more implicated, and Maya throws them down into lower conditions of life. The consciousness is lower, the species is lower, all these things. So one actually, in that same situation that you think I will enjoy in, one actually suffers. And because of these coverings, one doesn't notice. Right? Occasionally, one will wake up to the fact. Then if one is fortunate, one comes in contact with the devotees, one takes up the devotional process. But if not, then one gets frustrated, and instead of trying to enjoy the world, or make up a philosophy that you can't enjoy the world, it's all useless, it's all nonsense, they'll still go on enjoying, but they'll just talk as if it's all useless. So we see here is that, so the living entity, when they understand this, and understand that what they see, one is not enjoyable, on the, you know, from the material perspective, and one's enjoyment is not separate from Krishna, that the opportunities you see for enjoyment, if they're connected to the Lord, then it becomes reality. One becomes elevated. So the whole process is simply, do you see yourself as separate from Krishna? The environments that you're in, that you can enjoy them separate from Krishna? If you do, then one stays within the material environment. If one sees that everything is connected to Krishna, he elevates himself. So this applies regardless of the living entity's condition. Any soul can elevate themselves, any soul can degrade themselves. So in this process of elevating and degrading themselves within the material environment, then you're going to have the process of you see the environment in a certain way, you endeavor for your interaction with the environment in a particular way to get a particular result. Therefore, you get your particular reaction. And this reaction situates you within the various situations within the material condition. And that will be according to the place one's born, the family, one's gender, one's position in society, you know, in the way of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All these different elements will be there from one's previous karma. So now we have a natural form, and we have mixed forms of something. Natural means that all the various aspects connect. The conditioned nature, of course, is the bottom element, I mean the foundational element. But then one's particular identity, the particular kind of intelligence one has, therefore the senses, the mind, how the mind wants to engage these senses, and then all that, then what would be the best situation for that? Right? What would be the best material situation for that? So there's the natural situations of that. Right? Someone doesn't like cats, they like to, make their presence known. They're not very worried about what others think of them as far as their culture goes. They basically, a very active persons, you know, generally quite pleasant, but if you annoy them, they can be quite nasty. Then the natural situation is that of a dog, right? The body, the situation was in, it all matches really well. So, but you'll have situations in which because of their karma, because someone's doing so many activities, then these situations will be mixed. So he may have very good karma, so he's a dog, but he's, you know, lives in a penthouse on the, you know, Upper West Side, and, you know, eats at the table, wears a cashmere sweater, you know, eats only the, you know, best imported foods, right? But he's a dog, doesn't really care, but that's his karma. Or he's born in the heavenly planets, like that, very nice situation, still a dog. Or he's born in a very, you know, rough situation, you know, still a dog. So there, within that, you see, you can have very mixed situations. You can also have mixed where even the situations aren't as clear. You can have a human being with a dogish mentality. So, therefore, we see sometimes someone is very wealthy, but very bad character. Someone's very wealthy, but good character. Someone's very powerful and bad character. Someone's very powerful, good character. Right? Any of the opulences, one has beauty, one has fame, one has wealth, power, knowledge, renunciation. They can be there because of previous karma, but due to other karmas, then it's mixed. So it doesn't necessarily match. So the point is, no matter what the karma is, that is not the issue. The issue is wherever one's situated, one has to connect that to Krishna. Connecting it to Krishna, that's what makes it progressive. Then connecting it to Krishna, one can elevate oneself from that situation. Otherwise, then by the modes of nature, yes, things will just carry on, and one will just keep moving through one situation to another, various bodies, various families, various countries, various social status. All this will happen. So one wants to take the situation that one's in and connect it. You make that connection, things are nice, good, Krishna conscious. You don't, then whatever the modes are, that will continue. So we can see, as from the Vaishnava perspective, the particular modes one's in is not, or let's say the particular situation that the modes have placed one in by one's desire, that's not the important element. The important element is, if is one willing to elevate oneself by connecting oneself to one's situation to the Lord. That's the principle. So devotees actually don't take the material situation very seriously. Of course, one has to see what one is working with. Right? Someone has wealth, great, they can use it for Krishna, but they're very nasty and they're very miserly. That won't fit very well. They're going to have to, by the devotional process, purify that. Otherwise, they won't see the opportunities to serve Krishna. Right? But if someone has good character, whatever it is, then that's nice. One can engage one's situation. So, for the material environment, because people always want to see things separate from Krishna, and the fun part is, if you see it separate from God, you call it science. If I analytically look at something separate from God, I call it science. And if I look at it analytically in connection with God, I call it sentiment. Or, you know, religion, or, you know, some other aspect like this. So the conditioned living entity tends to want an answer that God's not involved in. Right? Then they'll say, oh, this is very good. Right? They go, why the Sikha? Right? Krishna likes Sikhas. It's cool. Right? He thinks they're great. But, you know, then you can say, no, but then you need it for the puja. Okay, that's for the pious who think regulation and all that. You don't have one, then that's more of a problem. Then, you know, you're not going to be regarded well in proper society. You'll glide down. But if we say, no, the Brahmarandra, and then, you know, the soul goes out to there, protects the place, this, that. Oh, okay, great, I understand. I'll keep a sikha. Right? So this scientific explanation is necessary because the conditioned soul really doesn't like the idea that he has any competition in the way of being God. So we see that in the Puranas, they explain all the science of how things happen. So here, the Naishadha class, then, is a class of man who is sinful. But at the same time, we can see here, has good basic character in the way of interacting with others. One is comfortable in one's position. But at the same time, due to taking the sin of King Vena, then tends to be, steal and other activities that make it uncomfortable around others, right? This is the definition by Manu on how you decide whether someone lives in a city or town or not. Simply, are they thieves or not? That's all. If they're thieves, they have to live outside in the forest, and if they're not, they can live inside. It doesn't matter. No matter what social status they are. Right? And if they're really bad, they can't even come in the city. Right? Like that. If they tend, then they're in the day and they go out. So if they're there at night when they would do the stealing, then they're not supposed to be there. Like that. So it's a simple point. So, because people have to feel secure, right? What is the difference between the city dweller and the forest dweller? Right? One will say, oh, the natural environment and this and that, so many other things. Not exactly. The point is that the forest dweller, whatever he wants, he takes. But if you live in a forest, no one generally will say that's a bad thing. Right? You live in the forest and you want some firewood, so you go and you pick up some branches laying around. They don't belong to anybody, seemingly. Right? And you take them home and no one will complain. Right? You want something to eat, you go out and pick fruits off the trees, you catch the animals, no one's going to complain. Right? But if you're in a city and you want to, have something to cook with, and so you look around for some wood and you see the neighbor's fence, so you take it home and cook dinner, there'll be a problem. So the city dwellers work on that things belong to somebody, and therefore there are rights and obligations. So this one's mine, you don't take it home and burn it, right? And I won't take your fence home and burn it, right? Like that. Does that make sense? That's your donkey, I'll leave it alone. This is mine, you leave it alone. Right? That's the basic thing. Does that make sense? So, the idea is that those who can't make that discrimination, just they want something and so they have to have it, so they'll take it, they live in the forest. Because of this overly sinfulness means the desire is overly great. And so one can't discriminate and use the intelligence to understand when one can take something and when one shouldn't or can't. Does that make sense? If one understands these finer points, then dealing with the Vedic social concepts and being able to deal with any social concept becomes easy. Because you're simply dealing with the condition of the mentality of the living entity at a particular time in space. Depending upon that, that's how one deals. One changes the consciousness, then you're changing how you deal with them. It's not defined by the material situation. The material situation is indicative of something. But that's simply indicative of a previous mentality. Right? You change the mentality, the situations change. Or at least how you deal with the situation. It doesn't mean that the Prarabdha karma will go away, because you change your mentality and your body will just change like that. Walking down the street and you're looking one way because it's been a bad hair day, and then you think, oh no, I should, feel better about this, and boink, and you change to a different, you know, shape like this, and then you see that, oh, that guy, and boink, change into something else again. You know, it'd be a little wild, you know, everyone changing constantly around like that. And, oh, hey, he's looking human. He's in a good mood. Go ask him now before he turns back into that ogre, you know, like that. You know, it's like that. And just as you get there, you know, the phone calls, and they go, oh, man, missed the moment, you know. So the prarabdha karma doesn't change. One stays in that situation. So that's why then the mentality is what has to be looked at. Right? So here it is talking about a certain mentality. Right? And one can therefore understand things from the past, what one has done. Because it is said that one takes a lower birth naturally because of activities. But one can also take by mentality. One can be situated very nicely, but by mentality, take a lower birth, like Narad Muni. He's a Gandharva, right? Highly situated, you know, compared to humans. But because of his mentality, then his next life he was born as the son of a maidservant. Right? So all that previous karma is still there, but the situation in which he is due to that aspect of his mentality. But that he got the association of the advanced, Bhaktivedantas, that he took up self-realization, then this is by other activities. We understand? Very important. So you can tell something, but you can't tell everything. Right? You can put things together, but to understand, in other words, if the person's from a sinful background, a naturally sinful background, but has very good character, then you can understand it is because of the mentality, something went wrong somewhere, they ended up in that situation. Right? Or that the person is, you know, everybody else in the family is really nice and great, but this person's really nasty. That it is due to having some good karma that they would be in that kind of situation, but their character doesn't match. Does this make sense? So that's why it's very important that the material situation that someone's in, you know, considering all aspects, is only a beginning point to start with. In other words, that is the medium through which one will engage. Right? But taking that, but the point is engagement in devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? Right. So in other words, the material situation won't change. Mentality might, but material situation won't change. Yes, so let's say you're 4 foot tall. Yes, for your whole lifetime, you will not be the one holding the Sahasrar during the Abhishek. Right? You're too short. Right? And the guys that used to be, you know, how you say, Harlem Globetrotters before they joined, those are the perfect guys for the Sahasrar, right? So that's not going to change. Sahasrar? Sahasrar is that big kind of like tray that has a million holes in it that they hold over the deity and they pour water and it just falls like rain. Like that. So that's not going to change, but one's mentality from whatever made one short to being Krishna conscious, that one can change. The shortness will remain, or the tallness will remain. Right? So one simply takes that situation, whatever you're in, connect that to Krishna. But it will be defined by the material ingredient. Right? If I want to make khichdi, I have to have rice and dal. I can't take, eggplants and kumquats and then say, yes, I'll make a nice khichdi, you know. One has to have the right ingredients. It's just the way it works. So, because we like the material mechanics, the mechanics remain. What we have to change is the mentality. So, because we see is it doesn't matter where one is situated if one is Krishna conscious, that will bring one to Krishna. It doesn't matter the situation, it doesn't matter what one is doing for Krishna, as long as it's being done for Krishna, it pleases Krishna. That's all. Right? It can't be that, you know, the monkeys are moving the mountaintops and like the squirrel and the spider are saying, yes, we want to move mountaintops. Hey, you're too small. Oh, being bodily conscious are we today, huh? You know, but that's not our philosophy, you know. We're not this body, Prabhu. You know, like this and that. It's kind of like, let's get real here. They're going to move dust. But Ramachandra doesn't care if it's a mountaintop or dust. To him, it's the same. You're fully engaged. That's the point. So all this fighting over doing this and that because we're not the body, that is pure bodily consciousness. That's all. Nothing to do with philosophy. Nothing to do with reality. It's just straight up front bodily consciousness. That's all. So the point being made here is that doesn't matter what the situation is. Any situation can be connected to the Lord. And one simply does that. One's perfect. Therefore, no matter what the situation, then by getting the mercy of the pure devotee, then one comes to the state of perfection. Any questions on this? Comments? No? Yes. Mike?
It is said that the mode of goodness is to live in the forest.
Mode of goodness is to live in the forest. Yes, but that's because it's your choice. Right? The Nishadas live out there because they have to. If it was up to them, they'd come into your palace, take over, kick you out, you know, like that. It was up to them. So it's not that if you cave, you know, palace, forest. No, they take the palace. So. Okay. Something else. But at the same time, it's because they live in the forest, in the natural environment, they generally tend to, being in contact with, appreciate the power and greatness and beauty of nature, so they're actually purified. If you appreciate a material phenomena for some quality, you're purified, because that quality is Krishna. The beauty of the forest is Krishna, right? That naturalness, that freshness, that, you know, life, you know, that lifeness, that's Krishna. So appreciating that, one becomes purified, not as much as if one understands that it is Krishna, not as much as if one has devotion to Krishna and connects that, but one will be purified because it is Krishna. So they'll do that. I mean, of course, maybe the person, you know, just the shininess of the skyscraper, you know, like that, okay, then they become purified by that. But there's generally a little less of that, you know. Generally, anywhere you go in nature, if it's left alone, you appreciate every aspect. But, you know, walking down the street in, you know, a big city, it's rare you come across something you actually appreciate, you know. That big number 9 sitting on the sidewalk, okay, it's cool, you know, one of them. But then, you know, next door they got one also, just like, you know. Okay. Yes.
Also other element that the forest also purifies, depends also on what is the advanced attachment when he resides in the forest. For example, the Brahmanas, when they reside and they do tapasya, they have very little attachment, so then whatever they have is being fulfilled by the forest naturally. Mm-hmm. But those Nisharas have attachment more, then they have to fight with the ostrich when they steal the egg. So.
Yeah, it's not that you're not going to suffer when you live in the forest. Yeah.
So that then there's also the feedback from the forest that if you're being a bit over the limit, then forest will respond.
Yes. And ostriches are tough. Right? Don't want to mess. Okay. Anything else?
Maharaj, I draw a scale, 0 to 1.
I didn't quite
draw a scale. 0 to 1.
A scale from 0 to 1.
You have said that it is everything is a mentality.
Yes.
I do understand. And between 0 and 1, you see this world is variegated. Variegated. You find all types of people.
Yes.
Some are terribly bad and others are extremely good. And we can fit all types of people on this scale.
All the we can fit everybody on the scale from
0 to 1. You can say that or any scale.
So this
that
is
you
like
make.
A computer program. It's a binary kind of thing
so
everyone fits.
Now you tell me.
But you know that all the millions of colors on your screen
you
are also still only 0 and 1.
We can go to several places on decimal.
No. What's your point? Because I don't understand.
I want to come. So what happens? Sometimes we move towards 1, you can say that 1 is the highest point.
If you're taking 1 as the highest point, that means pure unalloyed devotion.
You have fully become Krishna conscious.
I mean, I know you're having a good time here, but everybody here would like to know what your point is.
Yeah.
If you can't say it in one sentence, you don't have a question. One sentence.
One sentence.
Yeah,
sometimes
one sentence.
We downgrade, sometimes we upgrade.
Yes.
So how we can keep our mentality?
How we can keep our mentality?
Mentality so that always we have an upgradation.
An upgradation.
Yeah.
Like that. Make sure you're always getting the latest, computer magazine so you know what's out. Then you can always be upgrading, yes. Basically is you have to keep good association. As Prabhupada mentions, we should, however, know that even these sinful men can be delivered from this sinful condition to the topmost Vaishnava platform by the mercy of a pure devotee. So that's the only point. If you have association of devotees, you're elevated. You don't, you won't be. That's all. But anything else, being nice or not nice, you have to define what's nice. Like that. So you see these, really big wealthy men, they come and they meet you, the kind of guy in the street, and they're very nice. Oh yes, like this and that. And as soon as they're done with you, they just turn off and just walk. So were they actually nice? Socially, yes. But were they really nice from their heart? No. So you are just another face that maybe if you were big enough, they might have something, but if you're not, because you're going to start off being pleasant, they're not going to just suddenly to your face like that, because you never know. You might work for them later, or, you might do something. So they're pleasant just that much. Is that really nice? So this concept of nice and not nice is actually only definable by Krishna. Otherwise, everybody else has an idea of what's nice or not nice, and it's not great. It's like, so, you understand? So definitions of good and bad have to be defined by the Lord. And one only moves up when one actually has this, one follows the rules of the Lord, and one only comes to the devotional platform by the association of devotees. But okay?
Thank you much.
Okay, Conti is there in the back.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you explained that whatever level or whatever type of mentality one comes with, we need to connect them with Krishna. It makes full sense. Now, one challenge of the person who is supposed to engage that mentality, in that nature, could be that Atmavan Manyate Jagat, thinking that everybody has the same tastes and things, so somebody's an intellectual, he may think, God, he loves to read books 3 hours a day, and so
I think it's just a fan.
And other types. Somebody likes to work physically, he may tend to engage everybody physically. How to go beyond that misunderstanding and understand that different people have different natures and connect beyond one's own nature?
Basically, one has to see is what's, it's going to take anyway study. Of course, one can just simply take, okay, the person is a manager, so find some managing thing for him. Can he work with people? So he works there. He can't work so well with people, work with things. Find some place. He's a cook, so engage him in the kitchen. He does interior decorating, have him do, the new curtains, like this. But the other element, so that'll work for immediate or for situating themselves in an occupation, but to actually benefit them on the platform of the ashram, one has to be able to see what is the important element for them. Why are they doing that? Why are they a manager? Right? Someone can be a manager because of control. Someone wants to be, is a manager because of they like discipline or order. You know, someone likes would may manage them because getting a particular result that can be used is important to them. Another person, it's social prestige. If you're in that position, then so one has to know what is actually behind. What is the fundamental quality that they're looking for in the pursuance of their, you know, endeavors. Seeing that, then you will know more finely how to deal, because then you can see is their nature, how they're dealing, is it actually in line with that? You know, so let's say somebody's doing because of prestige management. So when they get the prestige, they won't manage anymore. They only manage to gain it. But when it's there, they won't do anything. Like the person, but the person who wants the result is going to work until he gets the result. Once he gets the result he wants, that's where he'll stop. Or someone else wants, you know, order, then they'll have to constantly keep managing, because only if you manage is it in order. So then you can find, okay, is there what is the weakness in that mentality connected to Krishna? If it's, okay, it's the fame aspect, you're managing, so we need things to be organized, but if it's only fame, but the point is the fame is Krishna. Krishna's the famous one. So if you think you're the one that's famous, that's going to be a problem. So they'll have to work on that aspect. Therefore, they'll slowly, slowly be able to always be active managing, even though according to their own personal need, there wouldn't be a need to work. Right? People are praising them, so they wouldn't work anymore. But they'll continue working and engaging their nature, because that's what they should do. Like Arjuna, when he's going to win the war and enjoy the kingdom with, you know, his friends and relatives, he's willing to act. But when he sees that that's not going to happen, he won't act. So the problem is he's not seeing that he's not the body, he's the soul. The soul is simply an instrument in the machinations of the world, and then that can be either to bind you or to free you. So then that weakness is there, that he thinks that the good quality is to go to the forest. Well, no, that means you're giving up your duties. You're not being dutiful, you're being whimsical, so that's a mode of ignorance. So you can find it and point it out. Does that make any sense?
And what's the method to find out what's the motivation of people? It may not be that everybody is able to do that.
No, they're not, but ideally leadership should learn it, because the idea is leadership should be able to engage people according to their nature. See, that's the point. A common person means he doesn't necessarily know what he should be doing. He's willing to do something, but leadership means you know what should be done and who does what. You know, the greater one understands that, the greater one is able to place people and see the largeness of the machinery available. Like Prabhupada could see the whole world engaged. So that's ideal. So for him, you know, countries, country leaders, you know, big powerful people, you know, anyone, he could see where they would fit in that situation. So according to one's ability, it means in other words, according to one's nature, then one would be engaged. So in this case, we're saying, you know, some kind of leadership, and then according to one's ability, how much or what area, and then stick to that, and then it should be successful. Right? So the first thing is identifying one's own nature. If you can't do that, you will never be able to be a leader. It means you won't even be able to be a member of the community if you don't know who you are. Because how do I relate to you if you don't know who you are? You know, if I come up to you and say, you know, Hari Bol Prabhu, well, how are you so confident in saying Prabhu? I mean, you know, are you sure Prabhu or this, that? And we're not the body, and we're the soul, so maybe we're factual. Maybe you should be calling me, you know, like this. How do I have a conversation?
So you're comfortable. Okay, I've been born in this body, and so people are going to call me Prabhu. When they say Prabhu, then that's when I turn around. They say Mataji, I don't turn around. Like that. You know, so like that, then it works. There's a basis for a relationship. So one has to know who one is. If that is clear, then one can go to this, then one can actually be involved in a relationship. Because if you can tell who you are, you can tell who others are. So you can have a relationship. And if you can understand the mechanics of that process, you can be a leader. So managerially wise, one can, if one understands the mechanics of management, one can be a manager. But unfortunately, one has to apply that into a human situation. So that requires culture. So that means now you have to know who you are beyond being a manager. In other words, who are you in ashram? What is your character? What's your nature? What are your motives? If you don't know that, you won't be able to see it in others. And then, like you said, then you're atmavan manyate jagat. You think that's because that's what I do, everyone else does. Because you actually don't even know why you do what you do. If you know why you do what you do, then you know why it's you do what you do, it's separate from someone else, so you can see difference. But if you can't tell actually who you are, you see everyone is the same. Like that. So it needs education, right? It means, you know, the spontaneous maverick just gets in there and does something that's really great in the movies and it's really great in Hollywood movies, right? But you don't generally see it in any other cultural environment. Right, you know, the Chinese, the guy is there, he goes in there and, you know, wipes out a whole army because he's been training his whole life to do that. Not because he's American and somebody, you know, stole his fish. And so now he goes ballistic and, you know, wipes out, you know, battalions and that because they took my fish. You know, but hey, it's Hollywood, it looks great, you know. You know what I'm saying? So everywhere else is someone got there by work. They went to school, they did things. Even like Bond, right? He went to school, he went to, you know, Eton and Harrow. You know, he was trained, therefore he is who he is. You know, James Bond, right? You know, so, but the American equivalents, they're just, they got an attitude, that's all. That's all they got, you know? They're tough, you know, they're, you know. Yeah, well, of course, somebody else wrote it. But it's, you know, it's like, you know, this is not America, this is L.A. You know, that's all they have to have, is attitude, and then everything works. You know, does that make sense? So it's not enough. One needs training, and so Prabhupada's giving that training, right, in the books. Because you first have to be able to distinguish between varna and ashram. If you mix the two together, you'll always fail. You have to be able to see the difference. Means the person has his nature, what he does is an occupation, but then he has his own character, and they're two different things, right? Ideally is that the higher the occupation, the higher the character. But the point is they're two separate entities. If you fuse them together and simply because they're in this occupation, therefore they have to deal in this way, then you're getting very much down to the bodily platform. You know, he's a manager, so if he does anything wrong, then, you know, it's complete, you know, abuse of his power and this and that. No, that it can be, if you look at it, is he in power and he's abusing his power because that's what he wants to use it, or is he just having a bad day? And if you can't discriminate that, technically you shouldn't be a leader if you're going to deal in cultural environments. You know, you want to manage boxes, you know, then that's okay. BBT has lots of boxes. You can go, okay, this one goes over there, right? It's got this box, it's got this book inside, it goes on that shelf. Really straightforward. It's management. It needs to be done. But if you're going to deal with people, then you have to know who you are and who people are. Otherwise, you're simply going to create cultural havoc. And you're going to blame it on the philosophy as well. That's a, you know, a plus point. Okay, we'll end here because it's time for darshan. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Janitai Gaurapremanandi.